I love that so much because there's the one of the verses in there. It says, so many powerful words. Could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I love what those words say in that hymn. Just so powerful and so beautiful. We could fill our oceans with ink and the sky could be parchment, but well, we still would not have either enough ink or space to write the love of God. Well, who can tell me what's going on this week that's important? I bet Brent can. Valentine's Day. Brent kind of scared me last week. He told me something special was going on this week, and it wasn't Valentine's Day. It was Groundhog's Day. But can't celebrate Groundhog's Day, not Valentine's Day. So I got some Valentine's facts and trivia here just so we can see what we know about this here holiday. You know that 1 billion Valentine's cards are sent every year on Valentine's Day, and it's the second holiday to Christmas where 2.6 billion cards are sent. Now, of those Valentines, 85% of them are bought by women, but 73% of Valentine's flowers are bought by men. So that kind of evens that out a little bit. Had to get that in there. In 1840 was the first mass-produced Valentine's card. Valentine's Day is celebrated in the United States, Canada, Mexico, England, France, and Australia. Can you tell me who receives the most Valentine's cards of any profession? Teachers, I heard it. Teachers are number one. Children are number two. Mothers are number three. Wives are number four. And then sweethearts. Now, here's one that I thought was interesting. Over in Verona, Italy, where Romeo and Juliet was supposed to take place, every year Juliet gets 1,000 love letters sent to the city of Verona for her, and she's not even real. Now, here was a little wives' tale about Valentine's Day. If you're a woman and you saw a robin flying overhead on Valentine's Day, you were going to marry a sailor. If you saw a sparrow, it was going to be a poor man, but you would be very happy. And if it was a goldfinch, you were going to be a millionaire. My wife saw a sparrow followed by a flock of goldfinch. So, I don't know when that second part kicks in. It might not be till later, but I wanted to know where Valentine's Day came from because we always say the card and candy industry kind of came up with it, but it's not entirely true. They just took over it. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, Claudius II was emperor, and he wanted to build this great army. And he found out that he was having a hard time getting people for the draft, and he also decided that men who were married or had sweethearts or wives weren't as good as soldiers because they were thinking about being back home with their wives. So what he did was he outlawed marriage for a time, and there was this priest named Valentine. And what he would do is he would kind of go underground behind the emperor, and he would marry these young couples who wanted to be married. And one time he got caught doing it, and he spent some time in jail before they executed him for it. And so he spent some time in jail, and he met the jailer's daughter, and they began a relationship. And so the day that he died, he left her a note, and he signed it, "Your Valentine." So that's where Valentine comes from. And after that, he was called Saint Valentine. So that's where Saint Valentine's Day comes from. Did anybody know that out there? Rosalie did. Well, she's a teacher of some sort, so you have to know that stuff. It was a lesson that they had. So she's going to come up and finish the sermon. I'm going to go sit with Bill. No, that's good. That's really good. So it started out, Valentine's Day started out as a very noble thing of a man who would defy an emperor and marry young couples who are in love. Now, personally, when I think of Valentine's Day, I don't really think of any of that stuff. What I think of are those red heart chocolate boxes, you know, that you always wanted to get as a kid because you love chocolates and the red heart meant that you were special. And I think of red roses. I think of those sweet little cards that have red hearts on them and kind of some lace and some sweet sayings, little poems, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. And one of the things I think about the most are those little hearts that taste like chalk, you know, and they've got little stuff written on them. I think a teacher invented those one time, took all the leftover chalk scrapings off the board and put them in molds and then stamped stuff on them, and the kids really loved it. When I was in high school, Lucas will remember this too, because I was always embarrassed, because at the end of the day, we'd always quit school like a half hour early, and then the office would read off this long list of names. It'd take like 10 minutes of people who got flowers. You remember that? They did it in middle school too, and I never got called. But if you got flowers, you would leave, you would stand up, and then you'd go down to the library, and you'd get your flowers from your special someone, and you're always hoping for a secret admirer, and it never happened. And as a child, I remember taking cereal boxes into school. Do you guys do this? You bring a box in, and you decorate it, and then you hang it on your desk, and then on Valentine's Day, you go and you drop in Valentine's, and then at the end, you get to open them all up, and some of them have candy or stickers or cutesy little things. That was my favorite thing about high school. So, oh, I'm just joking. But to get to the bottom of St. Valentine's Day, what do we find that this day is ultimately about? Love. I heard my wife say it. Now, the Bible teaches some very powerful things about love, and we're going to go through some scriptures here real quick. If you want to turn to 1 John, I've got some scriptures out of there. And then we're going to be in John and Ephesians and then Corinthians in the end. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14:1, but you don't have to look this one up because it's pretty short. And it just kind of sums up love. It says, let love be your highest goal. I'm like, well, that's pretty good, I guess. You know, let love be your highest goal. That means it should be our focus. It should be above everything. Let love be our highest goal. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We love him because he first loved us. That's 16 and 19, not through 19, I'm sorry. And it says, we have known and believed that the love God has for us. God is love. He who abides in God, in love, God abides in him. The key point in that verse that I picked out is that God is love. That's pretty important. Let love be your highest goal, and God is love. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, what's that saying? It's saying that love is an action, right? He's saying, if you keep my commandments, then you love me. You remember that story about the rich young man who came to Jesus, and Jesus says, do this and this and this and this, and he says, well, I've done that since birth, and it says, and Jesus loved him. Here it's saying that love is definitely an action. It's deeper than words, and if you love Christ, then God loves you. And Christ manifests himself to you, and manifest means reveals. So Christ will be revealed to you if you love Christ. And if you love Christ, God loves you. So far, love's pretty powerful. It's a little different than those little candy hearts that say, I heart you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So to know the love of Christ means that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And what it says here is that love of Christ passes all knowledge. So to know God doesn't take learning. To know God takes love. And we know love because God first loved us. In John, 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. You don't know God through anything other than love, because it is what God is, and it is who God is. And as it said in 1 John 4:16, we know what love is because God first loved us. So it's saying that love is from God. God is love. Love comes from God. So to know what love is, you have to get closer to God, don't you? And we know what love is because God loved us. Now, right now, my idea of love isn't quite matching up with the power that the Bible is teaching about love. You know, this agape love that God teaches. What I know for Valentine's Day, and what I think about when I think about love, man, the more I read about love, the more powerful love is, how God is love. How love is to be our highest goal. It's to be the most important thing. And to know God can only come through love. The love of Christ is the only thing that can teach us God. The love of Christ is the only thing that can connect us to God. Now, I'm thinking Valentine's Day is a fun holiday, right? Who thinks it's kind of fun? I always thought it was kind of fun, sometimes embarrassing, but it was fun. And we try to show the people in our lives, whether it's a romantic or a friendship or family, we try to show people what they mean to us. But I got to admit that I kind of see this holiday kind of leaning towards consumerism. Anybody else? I don't know. There's so many commercials about the things that you need to buy to show somebody love. And I just think it's funny because Valentine's Day is like a one-stop shop now, I'm sure. Like, you go into Walmart and you can buy a whole package of deals, you know. And it's like, buy this much love in a box, buy this much love in a box. If you love somebody more, you'll buy them this thing because it's more expensive, that sort of thing. When the truth about love is that it only comes from knowing God. In 1 John 4:19, it says that we know love because God loved us first. He is love, and you only know what love really is through him. I think it's very interesting that we need God in every area of our lives. Agreed? Or we're supposed to want to need God in every area of our lives. Sometimes we don't always want that. But what I think is very interesting about this, if you put the two things together, if we claim that God is in every area of our lives, to check that, you need to check and see if you have love in every area of your life. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what got me. I'm like, I don't have love in areas of my life. God is love. So to have God in every area of our life, we have to have love in every area of our life. And back a few, last year, the year before in my marriage, through my wife is how I really learned about love. And having love in every area of your life, because there were some places I really didn't have it, and it had to deal with some people that were in her life. I didn't have a lot of love for them. Because things that were going on, and they weren't good to her. They treated her poorly and all these things. And Shauna would come to me for advice, say, what do I do? And I'd say, you got to get rid of them. Get them out. They're not doing you any good. They're not doing us any good. They're not doing our kids any good. You know, you just need to back off. Just say, you know what? We don't need you, and you've been a bad friend for the past 20 years, and that's it. I'm out. And she would get mad when I would say that. And I was like, why? That's the fix. The get rid of the problem, then it's fixed. And then she would be all wise and wifishly and say, what's your motive for that answer? I'm like, what do you mean, what's my motive? My motive is to get the thing fixed. She said, no, what's your motive for that answer? Where's that answer coming from? Because that answer is not out of love. And she would say this to me, and I'm like, what's love got to do with it? Love has to do with having God in every area of our life. See, I didn't have what she had in her heart back then. She had a love for them, and she would always quote this 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 7 sort of deal. It would kind of tell what love is, you know what it is. She's like, love is patient, love is kind. And she'd go through this whole list and stuff. I'm like, that stuff doesn't work. Nobody can really do that. Except my wife, obviously. But it gets me thinking as I look back, you know, that's the truth. We have to examine ourselves when we go to give somebody advice or when we've got a problem with somebody. Are we going to go to them out of love? Or are we going to go to them out of bitterness or like a little indiscrepancy or something that we're upset about? Or are we going to take the time to settle down, pray about it, get God back in there, get that love back in there, and then approach them out of the manner of love. When I didn't have God in those areas, it was pretty obvious now. I mean, it wasn't that obvious to me, but I think it was pretty obvious to my wife. But once I began to understand that, Corinthians 13 made a little more sense. 1 Corinthians 13:1 kind of summed up myself. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels. Now I'm going to stop right there. Because I've always thought that I could speak pretty good when I had to. Now, I'm not saying I have to now, that's why I'm not speaking very good. But, you know, I always felt like I love to do speech. I love to be up in front of people, and I love to be around people. People don't really make me all that uncomfortable. But if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And that was me. Here Chandra's asking for this advice, and all she hears is this young man clanging these cymbals in her face, just making all this noise because it wasn't out of love. Let's think about that about ourselves. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, and I'm going to stop there again because I don't possess any of that, understanding God's secret plans, possessing all knowledge, and had such faith to move mountains, but if I did, and I still didn't love others, I would be nothing. And if I gave all that I had to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Everybody's on track so far, right? It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture, but when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. What are they saying there? When we have that love to its fullest, when we understand what that love really is, we will know all these things because that is God. Nothing in Corinthians says that love is easy. And it teaches what love really is. Now everything that I read there really, it matches up with everything that Valentine's Day is about, right? It matches up with what the stores are preaching, with the candies and all the things and the relationships. It really matches up, doesn't it? Or does it not? Not quite. I think if we read this, you know, some of it really kind of scares me. Have you ever read through this part about love is patient all the time? What about keeps no record of wrongs? You know, I agree, rejoices whenever the truth wins out, but love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Now, that's not quite what the world has been showing me that love is it? It's because love doesn't come from the world. Love only comes from God. And the true love that can actually do all these things is what God is. And it is the image of whom we were made. We were made in the image of this type of love. The question this morning is, have we taken time to think about what love really is? When was the last time we sat down and read through these passages and said, you know what, I'm not doing this area. Or you know what, when it came to my attention that I had wrong motives for some of the advice that I had been giving, it really struck me, and said, well, you know, then obviously I need to get in the right place. Obviously I need to have more of God in that area of my life, more love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Do we understand how powerful love is? Do we understand how perfect God's love is? And do we understand that to have God in all areas of our lives means to have love in all areas of our lives? And that's what we need to be working for. And this holiday, as we celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm thinking about food, not candy. As we celebrate Valentine's Day, whether you're in a romantic relationship or a friendship or family, or you just have people you care about, this holiday, let's really remember what love truly is, apart from everything that the world tries to put in your face about love, but how love is God, how God is love. And we are love, aren't we? Isn't that our image? You are love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that you have spoken to us, and I pray that we'd be able to just write this on our hearts, Lord, about love and understand the power of your love, how you are love, Lord. You created love, and it's only by you loving us that we even know what love really is, Lord. Help us to work on these areas to have you in all parts of our lives, Lord, that it would be evident from the love that we have, that it would be our highest goal, and that we would understand that love is the most important thing. Amen.